koutou te whānau o Auckland Unitarians, menya Unitarians o te ao. Tēnā koutou ngā manuhiri. Nō mai, haere mai. Haere mai ki tō tātou whānau. Haere mai ki te hui o te rānei. Tēnā koutou, tēnā koutou, tēnā rā katoa, katoa. We welcome you into this space made sacred by Auckland Unitarians for over 120 years. If you're in the church, please join us for morning tea afterwards. It is our sacrament of hospitality. It won't be complete without you. The opening words are by Kimberly and Tomzak Carlson. It is not by chance that you have arrived here today. You have been looking for something larger than yourself. Inside of you, there is a yearning, a calling, a hope for more, a desire for a place of belonging and caring. Through your struggles, someone nurtured you into being, instilling a belief in a shared purpose, a common yet precious resource that belongs to all of us when we share. And so you began seeking a beloved community, a people that does not put fences around love, a community that holds its arms open to possibilities of love, a heart home to nourish your soul and share your gifts. Welcome home. Welcome to worship. Now is the time to light the chalice. Thanks, Tess. Blessed is the fire that burns deep in a soul. It is the flame of the human spirit touched into being by the mystery of life. It is the fire of reason, the fire of compassion, the fire of community, the fire of justice, the fire of faith. It is the fire of love burning deep in the human heart, the divine glow in every life. Now we'll say the covenant of the church. Love is the doctrine of this church. The quest for truth is the sacrament, and service is its prayer. To dwell together in peace, to seek knowledge and freedom, to serve humankind in fellowship, to the end that all souls shall grow in harmony. Thus do we covenant with each other and with our God. No ingarangi kotirani, tiamana me huiterangi oku tipuna. I whānau mai o i Hartford, Connecticut, na whenua tōpū o Amerika. I tupu ake o i Baltimore, Maryland, na whenua tōpū o Amerika. I te mai o ki Aotearoa i te tō rua manu mawaru. Ko Martha's Vineyard tōku karanga motu. Ko Taiasquam tōku karanga awa. Ko Vineyard Haven Moana tōku karanga moana. Ke Horaki o Tamaki Makoro aho aho e noho ana. Ko Kate aho. My ancestors hail from England, Scotland, Germany, and Switzerland. I was born in Hartford, Connecticut, in the United States, and raised in Baltimore, Maryland. I arrived in New Zealand in the year 2008. Martha's Vineyard is the island that calls to me. The Taiasquam is the river that calls to me. Vineyard Haven is the harbor that calls to me. I'm currently living in Hauraki on the north shore of Auckland. My name is Kate. Many of us have lost a sense of belonging in one place or another, having made a life around the world from where we were born or grew up. There's a longing for a beloved past and people, and despair when we realize that when we go back, everything has changed, and feel grief at what has been lost. The Welsh have a word that describes this feeling, hiraeth. Welsh writer Lily Crossler Baxter describes hiraeth as having elements of homesickness, nostalgia, and longing, and also the subtle, this is in quotes, the subtle acknowledgement of an irretrievable loss, a unique blend of place, time, and people that can never be recreated. This unreachable nature adds an element of grief, but somehow it is not entirely unwelcome. I grew up in Baltimore and spent parts of summers on Martha's Vineyard, which is an island off the coast of the state of Massachusetts in the northeastern U.S. And that is the natural world that calls to me, the island, the stream, and the harbor. My great-grandmother bought a house there in 1920. It has been in our family for more than 100 years and has seen five generations of Lewises. When I was cleaning out a closet a few years ago, I found six different coffee pots, all different designs from over the decades. We have friends there who have known my family for three generations. Martha's Vineyard has been the place where I have felt that I belonged. On Martha's Vineyard, there's a settlement that belongs to the Native American Wampanoag tribe. These are the people who first encountered the new arrivals on the Mayflower in 1620 and previous arrivals, and some of them are still around, the Wampanoag, I mean. Of course, the whole island used to belong to them, as well as larger extents of Massachusetts and Rhode Island. They've lived in that area for at least 10,000 years. When Europeans came, the Wampanoag were felled by disease and violence, and their lands were occupied by the newcomers. I've been going to Martha's Vineyard for my entire life. I was baptized there, and I knew nothing about the Wampanoag until I started looking into it for this talk. All I knew was that they were the first people there and that they've been in court for decades trying to reclaim land. One of the wins in the 90s was the official name change from Gay Head, given by the colonists in the 1800s, back to Aquinnah for the town and area of Southwest Martha's Vineyard. It had never occurred to me that there might be an indigenous name for Martha's Vineyard, but of course there is. Noipe. And a single tweet and a single blog on all of the internet about how to pronounce it. Noipe. Does anyone know if that's correct? Does any of this sound familiar? This year, I took a course to learn awareness of New Zealand history and the effects on Maori culture. European colonists came off as looking pretty bad. The course, however, was not about blame and guilt. It intended to teach us about the multi-generational suffering that has led to the gross inequities of our current societal landscape. The goal of the course was to empower us to make positive change. But it was hard for me not to see my own family in the narrative. My father's ancestors went to America as some of the earliest settlers to Virginia in the 1500s. There would have been Native Americans there who were certainly displaced. Subsequently, my ancestors owned plantations and owned slaves. An uncle, interested in genealogy, has found that we have African American relatives descended from that time. While we all probably have rapists and murderers somewhere in our families, it is confronting to have evidence of it, assuming that the power relationship between slave owners and slaves rarely resulted in consensual sex between them, and knowing that rape was used as a method of control. I am descended from the founding father of the nation, George Washington, and share a name with one of its greatest explorers, Meriwether Lewis. I'm also related to a leader of the bloodiest rebellion in the nation's history, Robert E. Lee, in which my family had members on different sides of the Civil War. I now have a sister-in-law and nieces who are African-American, who are guaranteed to experience racism and misogyny in a country that is sliding backwards with respect to human rights, thanks to a highly politicized Supreme Court. How can I help them if I'm over here? And what is my role in their lives? This is something I struggle with. Coming to New Zealand was my idea. My PhD advisor brought a research group here while I was still a PhD student. The intention was to stay here until I finished and then go home, which was in 2010. We loved Peter's Primary School and the sense that children had more time and freedom to be children here. We loved that they emphasized socializing and playing outside over homework. We loved the scenic beauty of New Zealand, being able to live so close to a shore that I walked along the water to catch a ferry to work and joined a swimming group on Sundays as my new form of spiritual practice. And also, we were okay with living half a world away from our parents and my family. I'm not sure why that is. As I get older, I'm not sure I would do that again. If my nieces had been born, I'm pretty sure I could not have done it then. But in any case, we made a choice. When we come to a new place, we need to learn the rules and decide what part we want to play. There's a freedom in that as well as restriction. I came to New Zealand with my 4-year-old son and husband because my PhD supervisor had taken a professorship at the University of Auckland. We had some colleagues from the US but didn't socialize with them, so we were on our own, no family and no friends. As is familiar to many of us, New Zealanders are friendly. Tourists rave about how open and friendly they are when we visit the country. But by contrast, many of us have found that Kiwis are insular when it comes to reaching out to newcomers, which I suspect is typical in other places. I had many afternoons waiting to pick up my son at school when I would sidle up to a group of other mothers and be completely ignored. When we have family and friend supports in place, we are not in need of making new friends. We all are familiar with this. As a result, my closest friends have always been other immigrants, mothers of sons my son's age, and swimmers from England, Finland, Germany, Taiwan, the Czech Republic. I have one close Kiwi friend, and that took years to develop. It's very hard to start a new life, as many of you know, and I felt strongly that I did not belong in the early times. What if we had not chosen this life? What if our suffering had been imposed on us by others? What if our lack of belonging occurred in the land of our birth because the land was taken from us and we were displaced and disempowered by force and forced to watch as our children and grandchildren lost our language, our culture, our sense of self and identity? Most of us can't imagine what this is like. I have been scared of approaching Maori culture and interacting beyond the superficial with Maori people. I've been terrified of saying the wrong thing and showing that I'm part of the dominant and oblivious culture that drops affronts and insults without thinking. I have the experience of being a woman, repeatedly receiving slights and interruptions and snide condescension, and I dread being the perpetrator of such slights on another. I've been confused by my fear. I've always been good at learning languages, interested in different cultures. I was an anthropology major, and at first, before I changed a couple more times, fascinated by the wonders of culture, language, and belief, and how those developed around the world. But it's been different as I've gotten older, and I've felt less sure of myself in this new land. Taking Te Reo Māori courses, as well as trying to learn more about culture and history, has helped. So here I am, still new, more than a quarter of my life, but only 15 years in the grand scheme of place. I've raised a son here and experienced loss and love. My marriage ended, my mother died, I changed careers, and have lived through COVID here. I've just been to my first memorial service and mourned with people I worked with 10 years ago, a family of sorts, when families only see each other at weddings and funerals. Much of the ceremony was in Te Reo Māori, and that seems normal now and joyful. But I still sound different from most people, still learn new words and phrases regularly. Spit the dummy and munted are my personal favorites. I am aware all the time that I don't fully belong here. The architecture is different, the plants and the rocks. I bring up rocks, because one way that I find my bearings in a place is by looking for the rocks. In that way, I am always connected to the land. With rocks, I pretty much know where I stand. I figure out their origins, and I have a big picture of thousands or millions of years of history. Continents have drifted, mountains and valleys have formed, coastlines have shifted. Sometimes rocks tell us what lived in the past through fossils of shells or bones. In Auckland, we know that 200,000 years ago, the landscape was dominated by kauri forests because we can see ring-shaped molds of where lava engulfed kauri tree trunks in what is now Takapuna Beach. Brené Brown is a social science researcher who has focused her career on shame, on studying shame, vulnerability, and courage. She writes, "A deep sense of love and belonging is an irreducible human need from the moment we're born until the day we die." She defines belonging as the innate human desire to be part of something larger than us. Because this yearning is so primal, we often try to acquire it by fitting in and by seeking approval, which are not only hollow substitutes for belonging, but often barriers to it. Because true belonging only happens when we present our authentic, imperfect selves to the world, our sense of belonging can never be greater than our level of self-acceptance. I am still struggling to figure out where I belong, and perhaps that is associated with my own level of self-acceptance. I have found that it has helped me more to learn about Maori history than European Kiwi history, and to embrace an identity as a Maori ally. This gives me a sense of purpose here, perhaps colored by the ambivalence I carry from my family's history in the US. On Friday, we celebrated the second Matariki holiday, the nation's first indigenous public holiday, and this is from The Guardian, believed to be one of the first indigenous celebrations to be recognized as a public holiday in a settler colonial state, which is something that I think we can be proud of. I went on Friday morning, I went to Bastion Point, or Takaparafo, outside the Orake Marae, with hundreds of others, to see the crescent moon and the stars, and the Umu Kohu Kohu Fetu, the earth oven, and foods cooked and offered to the Matariki star cluster. Ngāti Whātua Ōrākei welcomed us and went through the official Matariki ceremony with karakia around the themes of remembrance, around these themes of Matariki, which are remembrance, remembering those who have died during the year, celebrating the present with feasting and joy, and looking to the future and reflecting on our hopes and desires. It was really great. It was cool. If you can go next year, do it. It's at 5 a.m, just to let you know. It's just a spectacular view. We could see Orion, and if it had been a little less light, we could have seen Matariki. It was a beautiful crescent moon. It was lovely. And then the sunrise. My mother's birthday was yesterday. She died in 2018. I will honor her by saying that she'd be so pleased that I have found you people and is starting to feel like I belong here. I wish I had asked her where she felt she belonged. I have wondered if maybe she would prefer to be buried with her parents on a grassy hill in Jeromesville, Ohio, rather than with former President Grover Cleveland, Vice President Aaron Burr, and 4 generations of my father's family in the Princeton, New Jersey cemetery. I hope I'm wrong and that they are enjoying a mighty party and that she has learned to kick back and relax with the rich and famous. When I go to the U.S., I can't wait to see my family and the familiar haunts, and it is like visiting a foreign country. I relax when I know I sound like everyone else. Here, I'm feeling like part of the fabric, and then someone surprises me and asks me where my accent is from. There's a lot of unconscious busyness in my head, not realizing I'm aware of being different until suddenly I'm the same. I relax when I get there, home, and cry when I'm leaving, and then relax when I get back, home, friends, green hills, and the sea. While I feel like I struggle to belong in either place, I'm also grateful that I belong in both places. It is a special kind of life that has gathered the richness and wonders of multiple histories and cultures and languages. In honor of Matariki, I'm looking forward to the next year and what will unfold. Manawatia Amatariki. Please say with me the words for extinguishing the chalice. We extinguish this flame, but not the light of truth, the warmth of community, or the fire of commitment. These we carry in our hearts until we are together again. We had a good Matariki bonfire going
we
there
did.
Today.
Some of our guests we've got.
So, in honor of Matariki, our closing words are the final karakia from the Matariki ceremony. I'll give you the English translation first, and then we're going to practice the final line together. Celebrate the rising of Matariki. Manawa maitea te putanga o Matariki. Celebrate the Lord of the Skies. Manawa maya te ariki o te rani. Celebrate the New Year. Manawa maya te matahi o te tō. Unite, unite, whanau, whanau, and bring forth the dawn. Haramai te tobi ata huakirangi. Together in union we are one. Homie, huye, taikie. Okay, so now we're going to practice. When I say homie, huye, we all say taikie. Okay, we're going to practice. Homie, huye, taikie. Okay, and louder. Homie, huye, taikie. Good. So on Friday morning, this is at like 6, our leader was trying to get us to wake up everyone sleeping in Mission Bay. That was the goal. Okay, so I'm going to read the whole thing from the top now, coming at the end. Manawa maya e putangi o matariki. Manawa maya te araki o tarangi. Manawa maya te matahi o te tō. Whānau, whānau, haramai te toki ata huakirangi. Homie, huye, taikie. Okay. Let's break into little groups of 5, 6 at the most. Is that what you say, Clay? And Clay's not standing up here, he's down there, so he's gonna police that. Six at the most. And talk about what makes you feel like you belong and Let's talk about what makes you feel like you belong somewhere.